Just a couple of things. I just wanted to first introduce Richard. Richard, we've known Richard and Barbara for many, many years. They first came to the Northeast in order to plant church through at Newcastle. And Richard is speaking on, or within our series of the work of the Spirit, and this morning very much homing in on certain spiritual gifts. I'll let Richard share that with you. But Richard's very powerfully used in word of knowledge. And Richard and I have been traveling to India for 16 years now. And an incredible partnership. Basically, I do most of the preaching and Richard gets most of the glory. Yeah. Because I can preach my heart out for 40 minutes and then, you haven't got 40 minutes. For 40 minutes. And then Richard comes with a 3-minute word of knowledge and he gets the most amazing responses. We saw incredible things happen last year as people responded to the word of knowledge that Richard has. So, what I've decided this year is Richard will do all of the work. I'm going to let him do all of the work while I stay in the accommodation, suffering and praying for him. Amen? Excellent. You see, they're all in favor. And the second thing was, just as Sue shared about, how the minister rang and said they were going to take up an offering for them and give them it. Who's in faith for that here? Good. Father, we want to thank you for the rich deposit of your word you've given Richard. We want to thank you for the way he's been used throughout the world in order to bring people closer to you and to see their destiny in you fulfilled. And we ask, Lord, that this morning as we listen, your word will find receptive hearts. And we ask that there will be much fruit given and much glory to Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. We are on. That's good.
Good morning. If you have a Bible, will you turn with me, please, to Acts chapter 1? And when you find Acts chapter 1, will you just go a few more pages over and put your finger in 1 Corinthians 14. Life is too short, and the kingdom is too valuable, and the church is too important, and the gospel is too powerful, and people are too precious, and the consequences are too severe for you and me to play at church. Came across that on Facebook some time ago. You get some good stuff occasionally on Facebook, as well as finding out what somebody else is having for breakfast and whether they should wear a yellow cardigan or a pink one to go with the trousers that they're wearing. You know, it's just, there's some good stuff. Let me just say that again. Life is too short. Hang on. Get yourself done this. Does it, like? I mean, that's the trouble, like. Life is too short. The kingdom is too valuable. The gospel is too powerful. People are too precious, and the consequences are too severe for us to play at church. Now, as Alan said, we're looking at some of the gifts of the Spirit this morning. One in particular is the gift where Paul refers to as a word of knowledge. And by definition, because I do like definitions on this particular gift, the word of knowledge is simply revealed information that is normally concealed from you. It's not you and I taking an opportunity to look in somebody else's journal and then thinking, oh, that's an interesting point you've made there. I'll bear that in mind, and then 6 months up the road, I'll just use it to my advantage. The word of knowledge is not a nosy gift. It is an entrusted gift. It's where God gives you secrets that you have no other way of knowing for the release of somebody else. Back in the book of Numbers, Sorry, back in the book of Judges, in chapter 13, you have the story of the birth of Samson. Just before his mum gets pregnant, it's recorded in scripture that she is barren, which means her and Manoah have no children at all. They've been married sometime, they have no children. Suddenly an angel appears to the wife and says, you're going to have a baby, and this is how you must look after yourself, this is how you must raise him. Manoah is not present. He's disappointed. He goes to God. He wants to meet this man of God that has spoken to his wife. And the angel appears again. And Manoah, because us men are quick on the uptake, doesn't realize it's an angel. And he seeks God and the angel appears, but the angel goes to his wife again. And so she says, will you wait here? And she goes and gets Manoah, and Manoah comes along, and the conversation is repeated. And at the end of the conversation, Manoah says to the angel, says, now tell me, what is your name, so that we may honor you when your word is fulfilled? And there are different translations that kind of help us understand the answer that he is given. One translation says, why do you ask me my name when it is too wonderful for words? Why do you ask me my name when it is beyond description? Why do you ask me my name when it is secret? In other words, if I were to tell you the splendor, the glory, the power, the majesty attached to my name, you wouldn't believe it. You couldn't take it in. Another translation says, why do you ask me my name when I am a pleasant surprise? And I believe today God wants to be a pleasant surprise to you and me. He already has. I think the worship time has lent itself incredibly well for God continuing to surprise us. Now, he is a pleasant surprise. There are sometimes he may be a shock to the system. But he is, by nature, a pleasant surprise. Acts chapter 1, verse 1 says this. In my former book, this is Luke writing to his friend, the most excellent Theophilus. He says, in my former book, I wrote about all the things that Jesus began to do and to teach. Maybe one of the shortest readings you've had on a Sunday morning. But all the things that Jesus began to do and to teach. I love that. I think Luke, this doctor, this well-educated man, has put together his gospel, his account of Jesus. And if you have time over the summer, it's worth reading Luke, the gospel, and then going straight into Acts of the Apostles. You may say, well, you know, I struggle to read the Bible. You may say, well, you know, I just find it so difficult. And we can all actually make all sorts of excuses, from I can't read very well, right the way down to I can't find the time. 1 Corinthians 14 says, eagerly desire spiritual gifts, and sometimes it has to begin with me changing my appetite in order to engage with God and for God to engage with me. But Luke, starting off in the book of Acts, says, concerning the things that Jesus began to do and to teach. So before we carry on looking at the gift, word of knowledge, and trying to go into scripture with it, I'd like to do something. God has given me a number of words I want to share this morning. And I believe that's a good place to start. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 13 says, Paul says, as we believe, so we speak. And if you're not convinced it's from God, then maybe we should just remain quiet until we are convinced that what we have is from God and not just a case of bad cheese the night before. We need to be sure because it's affecting somebody else's life. But I believe there are three women here. Also a good point, because I look around and I think, thank you God, this is not a men's meeting. So far, so good. This is where it gets interesting. I believe one of these ladies is frightened of her next door neighbor. Terrified. If you're not careful, you will become a prisoner in your own home. You've never really spoken to this guy. But whenever he's out the front, or whether he's outside and you want to go out through your front door, you find it difficult. And fear grips you. We have sung this morning, no longer a slave to fear. We've sung, you unravel me. God wants to do that today. He wants to take away the fear of this person Replace it with peace in your life and courage so you can decide when you want to go out and when you want to stay in, and he doesn't control you. Or the fear that you have of him doesn't control you. And when you find that release, you'll discover the next time you go through your front door and you see him and you speak to him, you're in for a pleasant surprise. Because that's what God is. He doesn't just drop things into a meeting to make the meeting sound kind of charismatic. He does things because he wants to change us and make us more like his son. He wants to make us more like Jesus. He wants to set us free. He doesn't want us living in torment. Perfect love, we've heard, casts out all fear. All fear. That's your fear, my fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. The second lady that I've got a word for, you're terrified of the dark. That's not just nighttime, even though that's probably worse. But you're terrified of the dark. What I saw was this. I saw a lady standing on a roadside. It seemed to be like a main road. And there was a lane or an alleyway off to your left. And that would be a shortcut for you. But there are shadows down this lane. And fear would prevent you. It's a safe lane. But fear would prevent you going that way. You would always go the long way around. If the daytime is bright and sunny, and suddenly dark clouds would come over, like we had Thunder Thursday several years ago, suddenly fear will grip you. God wants to set you free. See, the psalmist said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and I need the nighttime to see the stars. I need the nighttime to enjoy the wonder of God. But you can't, because the fear grips you. God today wants to set you free. And the third lady, I believe there's somebody here recently finished a counseling session. Not training to be a counselor, but being counseled. And you've either said to somebody or you've said within yourself, I feel like I've had a spring clean. I feel so, at long last, I got rid of the rubbish. But you're swept and you're empty. Clean. Nice feeling. But today, God wants to fill you with his spirit. And later on, we'll have a ministry time. I'd like you at that point to come forward and we'll pray for you with others that may respond as well. Don't go away still in fear, embarrassed, thinking, oh, I can't admit it. Let's not be too British today. Well, don't be English because I'm Welsh, okay? Don't be too English today, okay? Be prepared to admit, that's me. I want God to change me. God doesn't just do it because he's nosy. God does it because he wants to be involved in your life and in my life. He wants to come in and set you free so that you can sing the song in truth instead of thinking, God, can you really unravel me till all my fears are gone? Yes. Yes. Yes, he can. But turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians 14. Back in, a long time ago, back in July 1967, just to give a short version of part of my journey. Back in 1967, July the 11th, 9:30 at night, a Tuesday night, I got born again. I knew it. I was there. It happened to me. It was quite a remarkable moment. Suddenly all the struggles that were going on within were disappeared as I prayed a simple prayer of repentance and I gave my life to Jesus Christ. Now, I've not lived a perfect Christian life. I'll tell you that so you don't have to ask my wife. I've not made it easy for myself sometimes. But that night, I gave my life to Jesus. 13th of November that year, on a Monday night at 8:30, I got baptized in water. I knew it. I come up, I was wet all over. So how did that happen? Just before I got baptized, there was a lady there that got baptized. And the elders of the church, the brethren church I used to go to, they always gave you a verse of scripture just before they baptized you. And they said to this lady, God bless her, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. She did. I'm not kidding. She came off coughing and spluttering. I'm sat there thinking, hey, I hope I got a better verse than that, like. But that was what happened. I knew I got baptized in water. Back in 1975, it was a Saturday night meeting. A deacon in the Baptist church that Babs and I were going to had organized meetings for people to be baptized in the Spirit, because he was, and his wife, Eric and Maureen, and they wanted young people to come into the same experience. And we met every Saturday night, probably the closest they've come over a period of time to seeing revival break out. They were awesome seasons. But in 1975, God suddenly got hold of me and baptized me in the Spirit. And that moment on, the gifts of the Spirit suddenly became alive. I knew they were there. I was a good brethren. We understood the Word. We read the Word every day. You dare not. You had to. You had your keynotes and your bread of life and all that. And you read. And if you didn't, woe betide you, because on a Sunday morning, the elder would say, "What have you read today then, Richard?" They go, You can't make that kind of answer up very quickly. So you had to, you did it because you had to. But suddenly God's Word became alive to me. And I read this verse not long after I'd been baptized in the Spirit. And I read, "Follow the way of love." Oh, please God, that's a challenge. "And eagerly desire spiritual gifts." Now let me ask you, for following God and being filled with His Spirit and being used by God with spiritual gifts, where is your appetite? On a scale of 1 to 10, where is your appetite? Do you eagerly desire spiritual gifts, or do you rather rush home and watch Coronation Street? What's the priority in my life? Now, if I'm honest with you, there are some things I love to watch, and there are some things I love to listen to. Can I make no excuse for that? I love MotoGP. Thank you very much. Yeah, what a great sport, watching Valentino Rossi hurtle around a track at 200 miles an hour. I mean, it's phenomenal. Anyway. I love listening to country and western music. Don't say that, sad young people. Don't go down that route. I love listening to Johnny Cash. I make no bones about it. And this week, while preparing for this word, one of his songs, I kept praying, kept trying to pray in tongues, trying to wait on God. And every day, this song was in my head. It's called Strawberry Cake. I'm not going to sing it, but you can get it on YouTube. It's quite a quirky song. And in the end, I said to God, "Am I missing something? I'm trying to pray. I'm trying to pray in tongues. I'm trying to study. I'm trying to prepare myself for Sunday morning. Why can't I get this song out of my head? Are you trying to say something to me?" I've discovered God can use anything He likes to communicate to you and me. And as I prayed that prayer, this is what I saw. I saw a lady. It was in a kitchen. I can't describe the kitchen, but she was in a kitchen. It looks as if she's just come back from having her hair done. She's in the kitchen. She takes off a red cardigan. She puts on an apron, and she makes a strawberry cake. And God said, "I want to bless that woman on Sunday morning. I don't know who you are, but I need to meet with you afterwards. God wants to bless you. I don't know in what way yet, but we'll trust God. We've got a few people around. We'll pray for you and ask God to bless you." See, the thing is this. When I eagerly desire other things, I discover that God is kind of somewhere else. When I eagerly desire ordinary things, God is somewhere else. But the word of knowledge is not a nosy gift, it's a revealed gift. The word of knowledge is a trusted gift. It's not a gift for blackmail. You don't know information and hold it over somebody. "I know what you did in 1984. I know the way you treated your mother-in-law. If you don't pay up, I will tell the public." That's not the purpose for the gift. The purpose of the gift is for you and me in love and in mercy. What does Paul say? Follow the way of love. You go through his letters. Love is a thread that goes right through it. He wants to be used by God through love, with the love of God resting upon him in whatever sphere of life he is in. He wants to make certain he is motivated by the love of God. And you and I need to be exactly the same. Now I found, as time has gone on, and I come back to this verse, eagerly desiring spiritual gifts, and thinking, please God, let's get past the general. Now years ago, when Barbara and I were involved in a small church in Risca, on a Sunday morning that we had grown, we were about 50 to 75, I believe God gave me a word of knowledge. Now I wasn't, and I'm still not really well educated, but when I was in school, I sat at the back, and I looked out to the window, and when exams came around, I didn't get very far. But I do remember in biology, we had a bullseye on one occasion. We were supposed to dissect it. They're great for marbles, actually. They kind of squidge and go a long way. But then, sorry about that, but that's the truth. The reason is this. Because I didn't pay attention, God showed up on my level one Sunday morning. And God simply said, there's somebody here with piles. I mean, if God had said hemorrhoids, I wouldn't have pronounced it correctly anyway. So you see, God works with us where we're at, but God doesn't expect us to stay there. Now, God didn't send me to college to do A-level biology, but God does expect me to grow in the gift that he gives us. He expects me to expand and to be prepared to give him time so he can whisper things to you and to me so that the world around us can be changed. The gift is not simply in-house. I need to be prepared to be out of the boat, so to speak, and be outside the norm and out of my comfort zone for God to use me. And that applies to you as well. A little while ago, I had a dream. We were talking about dreams on Tuesday night, and I'd forgotten all about this dream till Thursday. And Thursday night, just praying, and had this dream. And I remembered it on Thursday, but when I had it originally, it made no sense to me. The dream was this. In my dream, I was playing chess with my son Nathan. Now, I like playing chess. Confession here. If I'm playing Monopoly, I will cheat. I will. I will try and steal off the banker when he's not looking. Yeah. Praise God. Confession is good for the soul. Yeah. But in chess, you just don't cheat. I just wouldn't dare. It's just not the way I work. Anyway, I'm playing chess and I'm losing in this dream. And suddenly, and I can see from the board, two more moves and I'm done. It's checkmate. And suddenly Nathan was distracted. And he looked away. And as he looked away, I stole the queen. And then I woke up. And I thought, I don't get that at all. That's really odd. It's something I would never do. I'd never done it to him. And on Thursday, I believe God said this to me, for some of you here, some of you trusted somebody and you were robbed. You trusted somebody and you've been robbed. You looked away and they robbed you. And God wants to make certain that you understand with him, you're on the winning side. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us, and people do the dirty on us from time to time, which is unfair. But you've been robbed, and today God wants to restore you. And God wants to give you a gift of forgiveness, one for yourself and two for the person. You may not get reconciled with that person. That's a slightly different issue. But God wants you to know forgiveness within for yourself and for that person. And God wants to give you a gift today. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. The psalmist said, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. What's your longing today? Do you long to be used more by God? You might be terrified. We all are. When God says, just say something. No, why me? I was in Boots the Chemist a little while ago, 7:30 in the morning, getting some eye drops. And because I'm over 60, you can fill in a little form, which is, what's the form called again? Pharmacy First. Thank you very much. From a professional. Pharmacy First. And you fill in the form, and as I'm standing there, there's a guy across the way in the back of the pharmacist, that back of Boots. And God said, you need to tell him. If he doesn't stop gambling, it's going to be his downfall. It's 7:30 in the morning. I mean, I'm not awake yet. What are you doing up? It's just... And I thought, okay, God, if you want me to say that, he's got to come across and see me. Now, he was really busy and engrossed. I didn't realize he was the pharmacist and had to come across and check the form that I had filled in. He arrived. He's standing in front of me, checked the form, and he went to walk away. He said, excuse me a moment. I got a message for you. He looked a bit startled. And I told him, I said, if you don't quit gambling, it's going to be your downfall. And he went, are you a gambler? I said, I'm not a gambler, I'm just a messenger. If you don't quit gambling, it's going to be your downfall. And he turned on and walked away. I don't know what the outcome was, no idea. But we learned to trust God. There's a world out there that needs reaching. And the spiritual gifts that God has given us, whether it's in 1 Corinthians 12, 14, or in Romans, they are tools for the trade. Jesus said, I'll build my church, the gates of hell won't stand against it, but he's invited us to be laborers together with him. I've done some labor on a building site. It's hard graft. I enjoyed it, but it's hard graft. But there are tools for the job. And God has given us tools for the job. God has given us ways to get beyond the veneer of people's experience and people's looks and people's understanding. There's a way of getting beneath the surface so that God can come in and do some business. And all he wants you and me to be is willing in the day of his power. He wants us to get beneath the surface in love, using the gifts of the Spirit, in order that Jesus may be brought in to somebody else's circumstance. Now, I don't go through life having words of knowledge, you know, every day, 5 minutes, you know, at 5 minute intervals. It doesn't work like that, okay? I am normal. I do ordinary stuff. I make mistakes and I get it wrong and I beat myself up when I do and all the rest of it. But deep down, there's a desire to eagerly, eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Now, we can all write ourselves off. I met a lad a couple of years ago who I'd worked with 10 years ago. And 10 years ago, when I helped this lad at the age of 15, he left comprehensive school and he couldn't read or write. And when I met him 10 years later, he was going into a supermarket and I was coming out and he was with his mom and dad. And I stopped and spoke to him and asked him how he was. I said, I'm doing really well. He said, do you know what I've just done, Richard? I said, no idea. I've just finished doing my GCSEs. I said, never. That's amazing. Well done. Because I knew he hadn't done them in school. But I didn't know his ability. I said, do you know what I had to do before I did my GCSEs? I had to go back to college and learn to read and write. And now I can. You walk into the supermarket, all the signs make sense to me today. We make excuses. I can't read the Bible. I don't like reading. Whatever. Sometimes we need to be drastic with ourselves to change the way we approach God. To change the way we approach God's Word. And to allow His Spirit to give us the desire that we need that makes the difference. It's not made up. It's not nonsense in the head. Jesus wants to have a relationship with you and me through the power of His Holy Spirit. Thank you very much. That's always quite a good point. Now you may say to yourself, well, how will I know it's not me? How will I know I'm making it up? How will I know? What guidelines have you got? Just after I got baptized in the Spirit and I started looking at spiritual gifts, I came across this verse in Philippians. Philippians chapter 2 says this, as we believe, says Paul, so we speak. What a great verse. Sorry, that's 1 Corinthians 4, 2 Corinthians 4, 13. Philippians, just to make certain you're awake. Philippians 2 says this, for it is God who has at work within you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's not about us. I mean, God doesn't speak to you and say, tell that guy to quit gambling. Why would I think that? No, God is at work within you and me. Because God wants to do something that is serious. So when you get a thought of, well, should I pray for this person? Follow the thought through. It's God that is at work within you. The more we cooperate with God, the more we become familiar with Him. Years and years ago, we used to sing a simple song. Pierce my ear, O Lord my God. Lead me to your throne this day. I will serve no other God. Lord, I'm here to stay. For you have paid the price for me. With your blood you ransomed me. I will serve you eternally. A free man I'll never be. And it's taken from an Old Testament principle where a slave says to his master, I don't want to go free. I'm going to serve you forever. And the master would take the servant and he would have a tool called an awl. A-W-L. And he would get the earlobe and with the awl would pierce the earlobe against the doorpost so that wherever this guy went, people knew he was a slave to a master. He was always within earshot of his master's voice, always available for the master to say, do, and he would go and do. And I remember singing the song, As You Do. And then God shows up and says, do you really mean that? I think, oh, well, you know, maybe on weekends. No, let's give our lives to Jesus Christ 7 days a week, 365 days a year, because he is worth it. The time is too short. The kingdom is too valuable. People are too precious. The gospel is too powerful. And the consequences are too severe for us to play at church. I recently came across a story, my nephew sent it to me, of a pastor in Ohio. And in his congregation, he had a heart surgeon. And he said to the heart surgeon, could I come in and just watch an operation take place? And it was arranged that he would go in, and so the day came. And he watches the operation, the full thing, the breastbone being cut open, the heart being worked on. Eventually everything is put back together, and the operation is a total success. And they stitch the lady up, and they switch the machine off, and the heart doesn't beat. And the surgeon has to put the machine back on again. And the surgeon knelt by the side of the operating table, and he spoke to the woman, and he said, Mrs. Johnson, I know you can hear me. I want you to do me a favor, because in a moment, I'm going to switch the machine off. And I want you to speak to your heart and tell it to beat again. And for some of you today, God wants to get alongside you as the surgeon. And God wants to say to you, will you tell your heart to beat again? Will you discover the passion that you used to have? Will you discover the fervor and the love that you used to have for him? Will you stop playing at church? Tell your heart to beat again. There's been a song written about the incident. They switched the machine off and her heart started to beat again. God wants to switch the machine off. But he wants you to tell your heart today to beat again. I discovered over the years that God can just come in when I'm not expecting it, and when you're not expecting it, and life is just okay, and you think everything is fine, and suddenly God shows up and gives you something, and you've no idea what you're going to do with it or how you're going to handle it. But today, hear his voice. Today, don't think that's not for me. That's for somebody else. I can't do this. I'm not good enough. I'm not educated enough. I'm not good looking enough. I fail on every account. Don't just write yourself off. Today, tell your heart to beat again. And give yourself to Jesus Christ once again. Because time is too short. The kingdom is too valuable. The church is too precious. The gospel message is too powerful. People are too special. And the consequences are too severe for us to play at church. Will you stand, please? If any of the words that were shared throughout or anything that's taken place through the worship time has struck a chord within you today, and you know, I need to respond. I need prayer. I'm going to ask you, as the band comes up to play, if you will come forward. I will get the ministry team or those that are available to pray with you, that we engage in God again and see God break in. Deal with your fears. Deal with your uncertainties. Allow God to come in. If you've been robbed and you know it, let's find some forgiveness from God so that you can walk free today. You may be young and you may think, oh, this is for old folk. No, this is for you as well. If you're a young person and you think, oh, well, you know, I don't get this kind of stuff, maybe today is the day that you pray that simple prayer of repentance and you give your life to Jesus Christ today and allow His love to unravel you and allow you to walk free.